نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Before we begin with this next to the last class of how to develop or how to build an Islamic household, I'd like to read an article from a newspaper that I intended to actually mention some weeks ago when we were talking about education and the Islamic development, or how to develop an Islamic household class on education. I saved this article, like I try to do when I read newspapers and magazines. I saved this article from the Baltimore Sun when I was living in Maryland. This is a Saturday, June 8th, 1996, on page 5A. This is the continuation, where they were talking about a parochial school often overlooked as an option. And then this article, it says, this is a quote from a woman here, says, "I like the values taught at St. Benedict," said Yvonne Dennis, whose younger child attends St. Benedict, the Moore School in Pittsburgh Hill District. "We're Pentecostal, and my daughter spends a lot of time in Sunday school, but she's able to understand the differences between the religions." Mrs. Rohouse, who is the Rosa Parks principal for 5 years, and the Rosa Parks school is the school that's in question in this article. It's a part of the Catholic Archdiocese of Baltimore. Mrs. Rohouse, who's Rosa Parks principal for 5 years, said she was approached recently by Muslim parents who wanted to enroll their children. "The school has some vacancies," this is in parentheses, "in the lower grade, but grade 6 and a new grade 7 already are full for this year. I made sure," Mrs. Rohouse said, she says, "I made sure that they understood that we'd be happy to have them, but they have to go through the religious instructions." And of course, we already know that they're happy, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَنْ تَرَضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودَ وَلَنْ نَصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. And the Jews and the Christians will not be happy and pleased until they turn you away from your deen. Right? She said, "I made sure that this Muslim couple understood that we would be happy to have them, but they have to go through the religious instructions, because that's our mission. We see the large number of non-Catholics as an opportunity for evangelism." The Muslim parents said they had no trouble with that. So I just wanted to read that to you, just to give you an idea of the condition of the Muslims and how the Muslims think. Not all Muslims, of course, but some Muslims. So inshallah, we'll begin now with this next to the last class on how to build or how to develop an Islamic household. We ended off last class talking about a subject that sometimes the brothers don't want to hear, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mending his own clothes, repairing his own shoes, washing his clothes, milking his own animals, etc. And we also mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna Allaha idha ahabba ahl al-bayt adkhala alayhim ar-rifq." That when Allah desires to love for the people of the household, He enters into that house upon them gentleness. Tonight, inshallah, we'd like to talk a little bit about the compassion and the love and the tenderness and the affection and the playfulness of the Muslims of the past, especially the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and more specifically him, in the house. When one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose name was Jabir ibn Abdullah, رضي الله عنه, whom we had the biography of, a brief biography of him in the Riyad al-Salihin class, when he married an elderly lady, or not an elderly lady, but a lady who had been married before, and she was a little bit older than usual. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَهَلَّا بِكْرًا تُلَاعِبُهَا وَتُلَاعِبُكَ وَتُضَاحِكُهَا وَتُضَاحِكُكَ. And this hadith is collected by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, why didn't you marry the virgin so that you can play with her and she can play with you, and you can laugh with her and joke with her, and she can laugh and joke with you. This hadith, of which the brothers, the sisters can't see right now, our faces have lit up because of this hadith. And they look like Cheshire cats now. You know, their faces are really beaming because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has talked about. Yeah, I'm exposing the brothers. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, marry the virgin. Why did you marry the virgin? Does anybody know the rest of this hadith? What Jabir said back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Of course, marrying the virgin is very important, and the topic is not marrying virgins tonight, but the topic is so you can play with her. Play with her, because in most cases, a virgin is young. At least in America, most virgins are young. In other countries, you'll find 35, 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, 65, 70, 75, 80-year-old virgins. That's right. There's no joke. You'll find women who are octogenarians, septogenarians, senior citizen virgins. Never had a man in their lives. But in this country, in most cases, and in general, a virgin is a young person. This is the reason why we started this section off with this hadith, because the highlighted point here is not that you're marrying virgins, which is a major sunnah in Islam, but that you have a young person to play with. That's the point we're trying to make tonight, inshallah. But does anybody know the rest of the hadith, what Jabir said to the Prophet, you know? Yeah, I don't know if it was his father that had the daughters. It was that, I think, that, yeah, it's either his father had a lot of children. I think he had died. His father had died, and he needed someone to assist him with those children. And in this hadith, فَهَلَّا بِكْرًا, why didn't you marry a virgin? There's a lot of wisdom in this hadith. The statement to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the reply of Jabir, there's a lot of wisdom in the reply of Jabir. A lot of wisdom. Because what's happening is that he's showing that, number one, that it's still part of the sunnah, because the Prophet would have rejected it if it wasn't. It's still part of the sunnah to marry a woman who is non-virgin, to marry a thayyib. But look at the reason why Jabir married her. And look at the reason why the Prophet said, married a virgin. He said, I married her because I need help with these kids. As for the virgin, and we're not going to, you know, we have to be honest. I mean, this is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking. So we're not going to hide the reason. The virgin, one of the main reasons why you marry a virgin is to play with her. That's it. That's one of the main reasons. And the questions are so much coming down the chute behind me that they're stuck in the tube here. Allahu Akbar. This must be a heavyweight question here. Okay, so let's go on, inshallah. We'll entertain this question later, inshallah, because once again, the subject is not about marrying virgins. It's about playing with the youth. And we also find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ لَيْسَ فِيهِ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ لَهْوٌ وَلَعِبٌ إِلَّا أَرْبَعٌ مَلَاعِبَةُ الرَّجُلِ إِمْرَأَتَهُ. All the way to the end of the hadith. That everything, and this hadith is collected by Imam al-Nisa'i in the book called Ishwatul Nisa, how to deal with the women. Not deal with the women, but how to deal with them in a very gentle, intimate way, how to deal with the women and the people in the household. Everything is the zikr of Allah. There's nothing that is the zikr of Allah except for four things. There's nothing, excuse me, how can I translate this? Everything that doesn't have the zikr of Allah in it is jest and joking and playing, except for four. That's the way we'll translate it, inshallah. كل شيء ليس فيه ذكر الله فهو لهو ولعب. Yeah. Anything that doesn't have the ذكر of Allah in it is playing around, joking, and wasting time. That's the way we translate. It's wasting time, except for four things. And one of the four things the Prophet mentioned, مُلَاعِبَةُ الرَّجُلِ امْرَأَتَهُ, is a man playing with his wife. Now I'm going to stop right here, inshallah. We're going to stop for a moment, and we're going to look at this word, مُلَاعِبَة. مُلَاعِبَة, from the verb لَاعَبَ يُلَاعِبُ. مُلَاعِبَة is this word that the Prophet used, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is a general statement. It is not only general, it's what the scholars call, it's mutlaq. It's mutlaq, meaning it's an unbounded statement, meaning that the playing here has no restrictions. Whatever a man wants to do with his wife in terms of enjoyment, this hadith is the proof. And this also goes back to one of the questions that was asked a few weeks ago. For those of us who remember that question, of which I'm trying to get all the tapes back to erase right now. But we all know who it is. And for those people who hear this tape, who live in California, or who live in Michigan, or who live in South Carolina in the future, you just have to come up here and ask us what was talked about. We're not going to tell you on the tape, inshallah. But anyway, this mula'aba, this playing, is an unbounded, unrestricted statement. Meaning, however the man wants to play with his wife, he can do it. There's no restrictions on it, except that it is halal. And if he does it, he's in the dhikr of Allah. This is the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ لَيْسَ فِيهِ ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ لَعَبٌ لَهْوٌ وَلَعِبٌ إِلَّا أَرْبَعٌ. Everything that has the dhikr of Allah in it except for four things, everything else other than that is a waste of time. You're just joking and jesting and playing around. And that's the first of the four things. And this hadith, as we mentioned, is collected by Imam al-Nasa'i. And also, we find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam finding him very affectionate with his wives, and also with his wife Aisha radiallahu anha. And we find him not being more affectionate to Aisha, but we find more hadith being affectionate to Aisha. Because someone may think, shaitan may try to whisper to some people and make them think that because she was a virgin and the only virgin he had out of all of his wives, that he spent more time with her. And that's not the case. Even though the love he had for her was obvious. It was obvious among the wives, and alhamdulillah, the wives didn't make a big to-do about it like some, unfortunately, wives today, of those brothers who are experiencing polygynous situations. But the point we want to make again is that this subject tonight is not so much about virgins or not so much about wives. It is, marrying other women. It is dealing with the case of the subject of playing with the house, with the members of your household. That's the subject. Playing with the members of your household. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, كُنْتُ أَغْتَسِلُ أَنَا وَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ إِنَاءٍ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَهُ وَاحِدٌ فَيُبَادِرْنِي حَتَّى أَقُولَ دَعْلِي دَعْلِي قَالَتْ وَهُمَا جُنُبَانِ. And this hadith is collected by Imam Muslim. She said, I used to make ghusl. I and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to make ghusl together from one container between the two of us. Between myself and between him, there was one container, and he used to race me until I would say, that's enough, leave me. He used to race me to use the water, that is. You know, to rush to use the water, to put the water on me, or I put the water on himself or whatever. He used to play with her, and they used to make ghusl together. And there's some unauthentic narrations, like one that's in Abu Dawood and also in the Tirmidhi, if my memory serves me correctly, that says that Aisha radiallahu anha said, I never saw the private parts of the Messenger of Allah, and he never saw mine. And these hadiths, the chains of them are not authentic. They're not authentic. It is perfectly permissible for the man to see his wife in entirety, and for the woman to see her husband in entirety, naked. and there's nothing wrong with it. It is a part of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is the best of guidance, as he used to say, فَإِنَّ أَصْدَقَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَخَيْرَ الْهَدِي هَدْيُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The most truthful speech is the book of Allah, and the best guidance is the guidance of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Also, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to show his love for the children, whether they were his stepchildren or not. One of the things he used to do, we find hadith where the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to tickle the children. He used to tickle the children. Also, we find hadith where the Prophet, which some of us, if I didn't say the Prophet did this, some of us would probably think this is nasty. If I didn't tell you Rasulullah ﷺ did it, you'd probably say this was nasty. But he used to take water and put it in his mouth and spit it out on the kids. Yeah, I know people that do this. You know, you go to the pool or something, or you know, you're just playing around, you drink some water, and you just take the whole mouthful of water and just spit it out on somebody. Right? You see, you never did this before? No? Yeah, you know. So probably, once again, if I didn't tell you that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do this, you would probably think, you know, that's nasty. Oh, man. Catch germs like that. Right? But he used to do it. Also, if I didn't tell you that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alaihi wa sahbihi wa sallam used to do this, you would probably say that's bad manners. The Prophet used to play with the kids and he used to stick his tongue out like this. And go in and out with his tongue. And the hadith, you say, you used to hear the sound. Like that. And so they say you could see all of his tongue. He used to stick it in and out and make the kids laugh. This is the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one whom we believe and know for a fact is the best of examples. The best of examples. And also, the hadith that is collected by Muslim, it says, كَانَ إِذَا قَدِمَ مِنْ سَفَرٍ تُلُقِّيَ بِصُبْيَانَ أَهْلِ بَيْتِهِ. That when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to go out, used to come back from a trip, that he used to be met in the streets by the children of his household. His stepchildren used to run out into the streets to meet him, waiting for him to come back. The reason why is the answer is in another hadith, which is collected by Muslim. It says, كَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا قَدِبَ مِنْ سَفَرٍ تُلُقِّيَ بِنَا فَتُلُقِّيَ بِي وَبِالْحَسَنِ أَوْ بِالْحُسَيْنِ فَقَالَ حَمِلَ أَحَدَنَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَالْآخَرَ خَلْفَهُ حَتَّى دَخَلْنَا الْمَدِينَةِ. That when he, Nabiullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to come back from a trip, he used to be met by us. We used to meet him. When he come into the city limits, we used to meet him. And he used to be met by me and Al-Hassan and Hussein. And the person who said he used to be met by me was Abdullah ibn Ja'far. Abdullah ibn Ja'far ibn Abdul Muttalib. Abu Talib, excuse me. Radiallahu anhu. And he said, the narrator, Abdullah ibn Ja'far, radiallahu anhu, he said that he used to carry us. Now listen to this now. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to carry the children. He said, they said, فَحَمِلَ أَحَدَنَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَالْآخَرْ خَلْفَهُ حَتَّى دَخَلْنَا الْمَدِينَةِ. He used to carry me between his hands. Excuse me. He used to carry us between his hands and the others on his back until he entered Medina. What does that tell you about Rasulullah? Real strong. Real strong. I mean, real strong. You have to be strong to do something like that. You coming off a trip, you're already tired, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, as-safaru qita'atun min al-'adhab. That traveling is a piece of the punishment. Traveling is a piece of the punishment. So you're already, you know, like, you're in fatigue. You're fatigued, you're tired, you know, you need to get some rest, you want to eat. Here he is, the kids are probably, can you imagine, he's coming into the city. Rasulullah, Rasulullah, Assalamu alaikum. Ya Rasulullah, Ahlan, Ahlan wa sahlan. Right? And then all the kids start jumping on him. He had 9 wives. The majority of the children in his household were stepchildren, probably already of a certain age. They weren't like real teeny, you know, teeny ones. They were, you know, of a certain age, because these women he married had already had these children. And they had to be of a certain size because they were running to jump on him. He's carrying him on his back and in his arms, walking into Medina. That takes some strength. And as we know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had the strength of 30 men. In another narration it says that he had the strength of 30 camels. Allahu Akbar. On the other hand, we find some people, unfortunately, they don't like to display affection with their children and their wives. And we mentioned this hadith, I think it was last night or the other night, on Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, قَبَّلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْحَسَنَ بْنَ عَلِيٍّ وَعِنْدَهُ الْأَقْرَعُ بْنُ حَابِسٍ التَّمِيمِ جَالِسًا فَقَالَ الْأَقْرَعُ إِنَّ لِي عَشْفَةً مِنَ الْوَلَدِ مَا قَبَّلْتُ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا فَنَظَرَ إِلَيْهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ ثُمَّ قَالَ فِي حَدِيثٍ صَحِيحٍ رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِي مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ لَا يُرْحَمْ. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed Hassan, the son of Ali, his grandson, radiallahu anhu, while Al-Aqra' ibn Habis al-Tamimi was sitting there. And Al-Aqra' radiallahu anhu said, surely, most definitely, I have 10 children, and I have never any of them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him and said, whoever doesn't show mercy will not be shown mercy. How many of you brothers, because usually women, they're different from us with this. Allah has put something inside of them that He hasn't put inside of the men. How many of you brothers raise the hand that's in your heart? Don't raise your hand in front of me, I don't want to know. Have never kissed their children or never tell their children that I love you or never hug your children or any of those things. And if this is the case, then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to soften your hearts and make you more merciful, so that you can receive the mercy of Allah and then the mercy of the people of the creation. Ameen. We also like to mention that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be very vigilant and very constant on keeping his household a household of cleanliness, of spiritual cleanliness and moral uprightness. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wouldn't let anybody in his family get away with committing any sins, except that he would reprimand them or he would turn away from them, like lying or ghiba or namima or anything like this. Because it's important that the man of the house destroys and gets rid of despicable character and replaces it with good character. Unfortunately, once again, some people, they think that this is not from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to turn away from people, but we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anytime he disliked something, we know that he would turn away from it if he didn't correct it, and we know that if he turned away from it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also turns away from it. And we find the hadith of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha that's collected by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, which says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا طلع على أحد من أهل بيته كذبا كذبة أو كذبا كذبا كذبة لم يزل معرضا عنه حتى يحدث توبة. That if the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم came on any members of his household and he found them lying, that he would turn away from them in an averse manner, with an aversion, a strong aversion, turning away from them until they made tawbah. And this lets us know that the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, both male and female, members of his family or non-members of his family, were human beings. That they committed sin. That they weren't ma'sumun. They weren't infallible. This hadith is one of the clear proofs of that. But do we highlight it and do we talk about the companions? No. Do we talk about the wives of the Messenger of Allah? No. We leave it the way it is, and we do what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا ذُكِرَ أَصْحَابِي فَأَمْسِكُوا. When my companions are mentioned, then refrain. Meaning refrain from talking about any of their sins or shortcomings or defects. Inshallah, this is going to be a short class tonight. Inshallah, we're going to be ending in about another 10-15 minutes or less. Lastly, we'd like to mention, we'd like to say, the next thing we'd like to mention, and this is the last thing we'd like to mention, and then we'll go to the questions, and then we can get prepared, inshallah, go home or come back or whatever. for this prayer of the eclipse is disciplining the children. Disciplining the children. We have one explicit narration that is a general narration from our beloved Prophet Al-Mustafa Abu Al-Qasim Muhammad ibn Abdullah Al-Qurashi Al-Hashimi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we can find collected by and extracted by Imam At-Tabarani. And that hadith says, عَلِّقُ السَّوْطَ حَيْثُ يَوْرَاهُ أَهْلُ الْبَيْتِ فَإِنَّهُ آدَبُ لَهُمْ. Leave the whip hanging so the people in your household can see it. For surely it is training for them. For surely it is a means of giving them manners and etiquette. This hadith, brothers and sisters, is like the other hadith of the man playing with his wife. Because the statement here is general. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, عَلِّقُ السَّوْطَ حَيْثُ يَرَاهُ أَهْلُ الْبَيْتِ. Leave the whip or the strap hanging so the members of your household can see it. Now I'd like to ask the question right now. Who is the members of your household? Anybody want to answer that? Your wife and your children. Also, there's somebody else. Yeah, the cat too. We're not going to, you know, the cat doesn't care about the strap though. So you know the cat is not included in this section on Ahl Bayt, right? Huh? Your wife, your children, and your servants. Your wife, your children, and your servants. Leave the strap hanging so that the people of your household can see it, because it is adab for them. It's adam lahum. It's etiquette for them. Now, here's where the differences of opinion come. Do we or are we allowed, according to the Sharia, to beat our children? That's the question. Are we allowed to do that? What's the answer? We are? You say yes. You say yes also? You say yes? What's the proof that you can beat your children? The brother said the proof is the strap is hanging. Alright? What's your proof? Yeah, the brother's saying, he's mentioning the hadith, مُرُوا أَوْلَادُكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءُ سَبْعِ سَنِينَ. Order your children to make salah when they're 7 years old. وَضْرِبُوهُمْ عَلَيْهَا وَهُمْ عَشْرَ سِنِينَ وَهُمْ أَبْنَاءُ عَشْرَ. أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم. And beat them if they don't do it when they're 10. This is the proof that the brother's bringing. Yes, your proof is? Okay, he says that when Fatima رضي الله تعالى عنها had a ring of gold on her finger, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hit her with a what? He hit her with a switch or a stick, and told her to remove. How can the daughter of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have a ring of fire on her finger? Right? And your proof? Somebody else said that is okay. Now you're in the opposing camp. What do you say? Right. Absolutely. Actually, the person the premise that the hadith of salah is a proof that you can beat them is not, you can't use this hadith. You can't use this hadith because this hadith is specifically for salah. Specifically for salah. Outside of that, we don't have a narration to beat them. As for the hadith of Fatima, this is not beating them. When he hit her, this is to get her attention that what I'm telling you is that you shouldn't have this thing on your finger. This wasn't beating her. We're asking, where is the proof that you can beat her? And we don't have one ayah or one hadith that says you can beat your children. Not one. So then what do we do, brothers and sisters? We punish them? No. Because we don't have any narration saying that you can't beat them, it doesn't mean you can't beat them. But the general principle is that you intimidate them. And that's what the strap is there for. Because as one of the scholars of Islam, Al-Anbari, rahimahullah, he says that this hadith, he said there's nothing narrated about beating them. There's nothing narrated about beating them with this particular whip or strap. He said, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't order the people to take the strap and beat them. He said, but the intent here is that your educating them is not removed. In other words, you leave that there to keep educating them, to bring them to the mind of manners and etiquette. As for using it, the scholars of Islam say only when you have extreme cases. But to use the strap for every little thing, this is not from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala knows best. And one of the proofs that they use that it's only done to bring them back to their senses, to shock them, is the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّتِي تَخَافُونَ نُشُوزَهُنَّ فَعِظُوهُنَّ وَهْجُرُوهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ وَاضْرِبُوهُنَّ. And those whom you fear disobedience, admonish them, then separate from the beds, then beat them. And if you look at this ayah has a tartib. There's an arrangement. He didn't say beat them first and then separate the beds. He didn't say separate the beds first and then admonish. He said admonish them. And admonish them means from the book of Allah and the authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then if that doesn't work, then you move to the next level of takhweef, of intimidation, which is getting them to get away from, separating the bed from them. And if that doesn't work, then you beat them. And this tells you something too about women in general. That women in general are on three levels. The highest level of woman in taqwa and iman and piety and righteousness is the one that when you admonish her, she comes back to her senses. That's what this verse is telling you. And at the lowest form of woman in terms of piety and righteousness and taqwa is the ones you have to strike. That's what this ayah is telling. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So using the beating method without a necessity may be considered going to the extremes or going beyond what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left for us, and that we should advise our wives, advise our children, and we should advise the women not to marry men who've been known not to to leave their stick off their shoulders. As one hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had told Fatima bin Qais radiallahu anha, don't marry so and so because he carries a stick on his shoulders. And there's two meanings for this. Number one, he carries a stick on his shoulders means he beats his women or the members of his household. And number two, the meaning of it is he travels all the time. Having a stick on your shoulder that it never hits the ground means he travels all the time. So this is both meanings for this particular narration, and Allah Jalla Jalaluhu knows best. So with that, inshallah, we'll entertain some of these questions. I know that the sisters have sent down some high powered questions, and inshallah we'll take them now, inshallah, and then we can end it. Can you explain to me how I can make this prayer, inshallah, and what time should it be made? Please write it down for me, inshallah, so I can try to make it 2 and 4 rak'ah at home for the women. And in reality, sisters, this prayer should be made in the masjid. This prayer, the sunnah of this prayer is to be made in the masjid. And you should stay in the masjid if you're able to do it. That's the sunnah of this particular prayer. And Allah knows best. The youth is 22, 23, 24, 25. They can't play with me. What's the difference between a virgin 15 years old and a 22-year-old with two children? Why can't we play? You can play. If your wife is 65 years old, you can still play with her. It's no problem. We're not saying that you can only play with the young one. No, you can play, of course. Be my guest. This was the first question that was sent down. It says, but can they handle them? But can they handle them, right? Or is it just their nafs or the latest thing to do? So they disregard the women that are chaste with having been married. Why can't the women be young and have been married? Why can't they play with a non-virgin? And answer, of course, yes, if they can handle it, they'll get married, inshallah. And if she's a virgin or a non-virgin, you can play. Your husbands can play with you, of course. Nobody is saying that you can't play with non-virgins. But we're not going to hide the hadith of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Messenger of Allah has encouraged the men to marry virgins. We're not going to hide that. I mean, this is the reality of Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Tazawwiju al-abkar, fa innahunna a'zabu afwahan wa antaqu أرحاماً وأرضى باليسير. Marry the virgins because they have the sweetest of mouths, they have the most productive of wombs, and they are most pleased with the least. That's his statement, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, you know, did he, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, marry the older women who were married? Of course. Is it a strong sunnah to do that? Of course. But the stronger sunnah is what he told you to do, and he did, over what he did. Don't forget that. The strongest of the sunnah is what he told you to do and what he did. Not what he did and didn't tell you to do. And he told you with the strongest of terms to marry the virgin. Did he tell you to leave off the non-virgins? No. We should marry all of them. We shouldn't have any women left unmarried so they can go into sin. Because being unmarried makes you go into sin. It can cause you to go into sin. And Allah Jalla Jalaluhu knows best. And we're going to end it unless some sisters have any more questions. I'm sure that something else should come down soon after those statements. Yes, and here it is. And here it is, and it hit like a ton of bricks. There you go. What does a wife do when her husband disciplines the children by pulling on his ear and nose? Is this right? What do you do if you have a child who doesn't fear the strap? Well, first of all, if the man is pulling on the ear and the nose of the child, and this is it's causing pain to the child, or it may damage the child, then this is something that should be avoided. It probably, and Allah knows best, it probably would be better to use some other means where we don't do any bodily harm whatsoever, and use that as a final measure. As a final measure. As for the child who doesn't fear the strap, you know, unfortunately, there's not a lot we can do about that at that stage. Actually, if we took the time to pay attention on more on how we reared the children, I think the average child would fear the strap. If we put that fear in them in the beginning, then the average child would fear the strap. As for the child who doesn't fear the strap, there is something that you can intimidate that child with. There's something that you can threaten that child with that you don't, that won't, that will make that child do what you want them to do. And if that's the case, if you have a case where nothing works, then it's possible that you have a shaitan. It's possible that you have a shaitan. And that's a reality that we have to look at. And part of it is going to be our fault. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us when we enter into our wives sexually, we should say, Allahumma jannibna shaitan wa jannib shaitan ma razaqtana mimma razaqtana. Kama qalahu sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make that dua before you go into your wives sexually, and shaitan won't be able to touch you with what Allah is going to provide for you. You'll be protected. So this is something that we should, inshallah. You can find that dua in authentic supplications and also in the book called Supplications of the Night and the Day. Inshallah. Please repeat what you said, the translation, to complete the following. Leave the whip hanging so the people in your household can see it, for surely there's a means of training for them. That's it. That's the hadith. Anything you heard after that was my statement. Or the explanation of that statement. Let's take the rest of these, inshallah. What is the exception of raising a weapon to a Muslim, and is it okay to beat your children with a belt, hanger, etc.? No, we shouldn't be beating our children with hangers. I mean, it's discouraged to beat your children, period. Now, I mean, extension cords and hangers and pulling their fingernails out and, you know, putting toothpicks in their eyeballs and stuff. Nah, come on, this is torture. This is torture. This is something that we should stay far away from. Inshallah. As for raising a weapon to a Muslim, we already know about this. The hadith is clear. You should not raise a weapon to a Muslim because shaitan can poke you and make your hand slip, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And you can harm your brother in Islam. Or your sister in Islam. Having adolescents, young adults who are disrespectful, causes a Muslim parent to want to use the whip often. Is this consideration an extreme case? Do you happen to know what we can use to beat with? Is a belt used for beating considered a weapon? No, a belt used for beating is not considered a weapon. And if you have an extreme case, then I suggest that you stand up at night with your husband, or if you're single, you stand up at night as much as you can, and you make tahajjud to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change your condition. And a suggested not so remote, not so out of reach, far-fetched idea, is to ask Allah to let you make hijrah to a Muslim country. For when the man killed the 99 people, and then he went to the monk, who didn't have a lot of knowledge, obviously, he asked him, is there any tawbah for me? He said, Wallahi la tawbata laka. There's no tawbah for you, I swear by Allah. So he killed him and made him 100. And after he killed the 100th person, then he went a little bit further, and he found a religious, knowledgeable man. And he asked him, I told him, I just killed 100 people, is there any tawbah for me? And the man said, of course. But first you have to go to this land where the people are righteous. Just let you know that environment helps. So if you have a son or a daughter that's out of hand, I would suggest that you stand up at night as much as you can. You fast on Mondays and Thursdays as much as you can. You do as many good deeds as you can. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you with your child. And if your child has become one of those, as you have in quotes, extreme cases, then you need, no, that's okay. You need to get rid of the problem. This may sound extreme for those who may hear this tape in the future, but you may just have to get rid of the problem, because you don't want that problem infesting the other members of your household. I'm not telling you to throw out your children, and what I mean by get rid of the problem, I'm not telling you to get them locked up or send them to a kafir home or send them to jail or something like this, Boys Town or whatever. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm telling you, you have to get rid of the problem within the realm of Islam, the Quran and the authentic Sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're going to take this next one, and then we're going to take the one from the brothers, inshallah. If a child is said to be the shaitan, will he grow out of it and be a righteous believer, or will he be doomed to hell? Allah knows best. What we mean by shaitan, we mean an individual who just won't that the fear of Allah and the punishment of Allah has no effect on. That's what we mean by shaitan. The fear of Allah and the intimidation of Allah and the punishment of Allah has no effect whatsoever on the child. That's what we mean by that. As far as them growing out of it, anybody can be relieved of bad qualities and bad traits. Anybody. If they're given the right environment, if they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them, anybody can be taken out of that situation. Nobody is exempt from leaving evil. Anybody can be removed from evil. Evil deeds and evil traits. Yes, you were going to say something. The brother's asking the question, can the sister make the dua when the man is sexually going to approach his wife sexually? Can the woman make the dua? To the best of my knowledge, I'm not saying she can't, but if we stick to the text, the text says, when any of you approaches his wife, he should say. That's what the hadith says. When any of you, men, that's what it means, men, approaches his family, meaning his wife, then he should say. So this hadith is an indication to me, at least, that it's not the woman who's making the dua, that it's the man making the dua. Now, what if the man doesn't know the dua and she does? She says, repeat after me. Allahumma, Allahumma, jannibna shaytan, jannibna shaytan. She teaches them. Right? Nothing wrong with that. Okay? Alhamdulillah. How is the woman beat? With the lightest thing that you can think of beating her with, on the fleshiest parts of her body that are not seen normally by people. And it's usually done by you putting her, as the ulama say, by you putting her over your knee and spanking her. It's not a closed fist. It's not with an object. It's not done with an object. It's done with the open hand on the fleshy parts of her body, and it's done lightly, and it's done to intimidate, not to punish. I repeat, it's done to intimidate her, to make her come back to her senses. It's not for punishment. I repeat, it's not for punishment. It's not for punishment. It's not for punishment. It's not for punishment. It's to intimidate her and make her come back to the way of Allah, the book of Allah, and the authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. If you have a shaitan, how do you discipline a child? Because my child may be a shaitan because he was born out of wedlock. Hard-hearted individual. That's what we mean by a shaitan. Because this is the way Iblis is. He knows that this thing is wrong, and he still does it. Constantly. We're not talking about a mischievous child. A child that, you know, does something once in a while. That's not a shaitan. We're talking about a person who spits on people and urinates on people and curses at people. And he's 5 years old. And there's no profanity in the house whatsoever. There's no music playing. Everything is always Quran. Everything is a zikr of Allah. And you got a 5 year old child who's cursing, taking his sexual organs and his private parts and urinating on people and throwing feces from the bathroom toilet on people. Stealing and always lying. He's 5, 6, 7 years old. That's a shaitan. That's a shaitan for sure. He tears up no book but the Quran. He sees magazines. He sees newspapers. And he knows that that's the Quran. He rips the pages out and spits on it and tears it up and sips on it. This is what we mean by a shaitan. Let's not just run away now and say that our children are shayateen. Alright? We're talking about an evil person. We're not talking about a mischievous person, a child that plays hooky from school or something like that. No, that's not a shaitan. A shaitan is a child that when you are making sajda, they come every day and they kick you in your back part. They pull your khimar, they pull your hair. They slap you. You see? Sit on you. Things like this. All the time. You know? This child has been touched by shaitan, for sure. And then if you get checked. Yeah, but belts don't work against shaitan. See, that's the point. A belt doesn't work against shaitan. The shaitan loves for you to do that kind of stuff to him. Beat me, beat me, beat me, beat me. Why do you think all these people running around right now? These sadistic, masochistic. It's because shaitan. Shaitan has gotten with these people. They love punishment. They love to be bleed. He cut me. Cut me. It's a belt ain't going to do nothing to a person like that. What is a belt going to do to a shaitan? Nothing. Right? Allah musta'an. Allah musta'an. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. No. Right. This is what we mean. But we mean by get rid of the problem. Get rid of that TV. Get rid of those kuffar friends. That's what we mean by get rid of the problem. I'm glad you brought that up. Allah, you better speak. Get rid of that music. How you expect your son not to be like that? How do you expect your daughter not to be like that? You let her go out the house with her ears showing and this little stingy khimar on. You know how you, back in the days, you older brothers, we used to have this thing called a stingy brim. You wear those hats, you have a stingy brim. I call that little headpiece, the little scarf they wear in their heads, a stingy khimar. You let her walk out with a pair of pants on, baggy jeans, with sneakers on, with no jilbab, and then you blame her for her shaitan actions. No, you are aid and abettor to the crime. You are partner in crime. So when we talk about get rid of the problem, we mean get rid of all that kufr and that inhiraf, that deviance, and that those jara'im that's happening in the house. That's what we're talking about. Get rid of that stuff. That's what we mean by get rid of the problem. I'm not talking about sending them to jail, sending them to Spofford detention, sending them to Bronx, sending them to the youth house. No, sending them to Division for Youth. Oh, it's in Brooklyn now? Oh, okay. I don't know. But anyway, get rid of the problem means make your house Islamic. That's what we mean by that. And get rid of that jahiliyyah from your house. That's what we mean by that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. You want to say something else? Yeah. The question is it permissible to show affection to your wife outside, like kissing her, not what they call French kissing or tongue kissing? Is it permissible to give her a peck on the lips? And the answer to that is Allah Jalla Jalaluhu A'lam. Allah knows best. As for holding hands, it's permissible. Holding hands is permissible. I know this is permissible because we have evidence from the Sunnah. As for kissing in the street, Allahu A'lam, you have to ask someone who has more knowledge than me, and it doesn't take that much to have more knowledge than me. Now, you have the brother saying that it's possible that a child who has a jinn with him, it may be possible that he needs to be exorcised. Not exercised, but exorcised. He needs to be exorcised. That's possible, but we don't want to immediately go to that. We don't want to immediately jump to that the child has a jinn in him, or the child is a jinn, or something like that. We don't want to jump to that. But there's some things that we can do that we mentioned already in the previous classes that can get rid of these things. We have the solution for all these problems in the book of Allah. And in the authentic sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, yeah, those who can't hear what he's saying, and because the tape was running, it's not off, the tape was running, he was saying in a nutshell that a lot of times the problems, or in many cases the problem is, because of the instability and the dysfunctional nature of the home. Like, for instance, he mentioned, if the child has seen five different men or five different male figures in the house, this has to have an effect on the behavior of the child. And we agree. No doubt we agree. If you find a situation where the children are recalcitrant and rebellious, if you look back sometimes, you'll see that they came from the mother or the father came from a broken home. Maybe there was alcoholism. Maybe there was drug addiction. Maybe there was a battered situation where the wife was battered or the child was I know I'm on too many occasions when I was the imam of the Islamic Center of East Orange, New Jersey, and even before that, just in counseling people in general, I can tell you dozens of cases that I have in my mental file cabinet, dozens of cases where I eventually would ask while counseling, have you ever been sexually molested or assaulted? At least 6 out of 10. Yes, 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 yes. And this is something that has an effect on us. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us victory over our histories, that we are able to succumb or able to overcome these particular things that have happened to us. And this is why I always applaud American Muslims. Not that we're special, but I always applaud American Muslims for coming to Islam and coming to the Sunnah, because we have some unique situations here in this country that that has been heaped upon us. And I'm not talking about black people. I'm talking about American Muslims. American Muslims have gone through some really traumatic things that other people, Trinidad, Guyana, Pakistan, they don't usually find these things. You don't find the case. You know, it happens, but not as much as we find in this United States of Ash-Shaytan. So we have to be patient with each other. We have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to change our character. We need to stand up more at night and make tahajjud. We need to fast as much as we can. And we need to be selective, as this unauthentic hadith says. As this unauthentic hadith says, the meaning of the hadith is authentic. Be careful and select and look into the genealogy of the person that you're going to marry. In other words, do a little investigation. You know, you don't want to be sleeping with the enemy. And your child, who is unborn, has the right, and you have the obligation, to select the right type of person to come through the womb of your, what should I say, your child has the right that you select the right person for that child to come through. That's what I mean. In other words, you don't have any children right now. You're unmarried. Or you have a wife and you're looking for another wife. The child that is going to come as a result of you marrying that woman has a right before it's even born. Meaning, you need to be very careful on who you select. Because who you select and you become intimate with in a halal situation is going to be the teacher and the educator of the children who are going to come from that relationship. And that child has a right to have the best mother before you even meet her. And the same thing goes with the father. The women should be very selective on who they choose. And that's why I keep saying it over and over and over again from that hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam: إِذَا أَتَاكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ خُلُقُهُ وَدِينُهُ فَزَوِّجُوهُ وَإِنْ لَنْ تَفْعَلُوا وَإِنْ لَنْ تَفْعَلُوا فَتَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيدٌ أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم. When someone comes to you, guardians, when someone comes to you and you are pleased with their deen and their character, then marry that woman to him. Then marry that girl to him. Doesn't make any difference if he's 40 years old and she's 16. Doesn't make any difference if he's black and she's white. It doesn't make any difference. If you're pleased with the character and the deen of that person, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the strongest of terms, said, "Fazawwijuhu," marry that person to that girl. And if you don't do that, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it will cause fitna in the earth, not fitna in the house, fitna in the earth, and widespread corruption. We have a situation right now as we speak, in Brooklyn, New York, of a brother who wanted to marry a young sister. A brother who wanted to marry a young sister. And the parents won't let that brother marry that sister, and Allah knows best simply because he's of one ethnic group, and Allah knows best because she's of another ethnic group. The girl has run away from home 3 times already because she wants to marry him. 3 times. Now what happens if she goes out in the street, gets weak, and she commits zina? You have caused fitna in the earth and widespread corruption. You see? So we need to really follow the Quran and the authentic sunnah on the understanding of the Sahaba and those two succeeding generations. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And next class, next Thursday inshallah, Yom Khamis al-Qadim, next Thursday will be the last class of which we will be dealing with the subject inshallah on food. How we eat, when we eat, where we should eat, why we should eat, and the types of foods we should eat. This is the last class, inshallah, on how to develop an Islamic household or build an Islamic household. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for any of the mistakes or sins that we committed in any of these classes or all of the classes. And the end of our da'wah is an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.